I think all of us, or most of us, maybe even everyone at one time or another, had been in a very vulnerable place, either physically or emotionally or even spiritually. For many, it's not a very comfortable place unless we are familiar with somebody that we're there with, being vulnerable with them, such as a partner or a spouse or even a very, very good friend. And even then, it's hard for us to open ourselves up and show our weaknesses and our flaws or even our most intimate dreams. Think about it. How many of us would tell your deepest and darkest secrets to the person next to you, sitting right there in the pew? How comfortable would you be sharing your innermost secrets with them? How many of you would bare your soul to your partner if it meant taking the risk that he or she might reject due to what you revealed to them? Emotional vulnerability is especially difficult for us as human beings. Physical vulnerability and spiritual vulnerability can be just as challenging. When was the last time that you were alone in an unfamiliar place, late in the night, and that sense of fear welled up in your stomach, and your trust alarm went off? Have you ever experienced that kind of fear of someone who you thought you could trust, but then suddenly threatens your sense of well-being or safety? Have you ever experienced betrayal from someone in a religious institution or the church whom you thought you could trust? These are all experiences that challenge our ability to open up and to be vulnerable with others. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. But it's hard to be vulnerable. The more experiences of betrayal that we encounter in this world, the harder it becomes for us to reveal our tenderest and most integral parts of our lives. Instead, we put up walls, blocks, defenses that are designed to protect our vulnerable self from outside people and things that we believe could harm us. The scripture that we read in Luke's gospel today, Jesus is challenging his disciples on their ability to be vulnerable in the face of rejection. He was sending them out, and they could face rejection, they could face betrayal, even danger. And he deliberately tells them that he is sending them out like lambs among wolves. Right there, that's a frightening statement for anyone. Why in the world would you make your things like that and say, and when you receive that instruction from Jesus, it probably makes your hair stand up. What it means, go from town to town, from place to place, unarmed, without provisions, even without money or extra set of clothing. No luggage. Can you imagine going anywhere that way? No luggage. My wife packs an extra luggage, and I think Betty probably got a whole bunch of them packed. Can't imagine going to Alaska without luggage. But how many of us are planners? You go on a trip, you make a list for the things that you need for your journey, and you make sure you pack all your essential needs and then even a few more things that you probably won't use, but yeah, it's good to take them along. You definitely want some money. Your greatest fear is to be stuck somewhere along the way, stranded without provisions for food or for shelter. But that's not the direction that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us. They are told, don't take anything with them. Don't plant nothing. Don't count on nothing. Take these things just as they come. Discipleship with Jesus is not an easy undertaking. The 12, are indeed like lambs, hopeless, defenseless, dependent among wolves, unknown, foreign, Gentile people out there. Or sometimes in our terminology in this world, there's a bunch of people out there like a bunch of loose cannons. They had no idea what to expect. And yet, their job was to be vulnerable, to proclaim the gospel, to be kind even in the face of rejection. Never to fight, but to simply walk away if anybody threatened them. To simply deliver the message of the gospel. Well, if somebody welcomed them, they could stay in their house, is what the scripture says. They could eat the food that was offered to them, and they should show gratitude. They could forge relationships and teach as they do, plant seeds of the gospel. But if they were rejected, and no one would take them in or listen to them, they were not to crouch, lash out, argue, or insist that you believe this message. They were simply to walk away and brush the dust off of their feet and move on to their next stop. I think this is an important message for all of us as modern day disciples and apostles, because the mission of the gospel is not an invasion or a takeover. It's a simple message. To be kind, to be respectful, to offer it all to everybody, no matter how the hospitality is or the inhospitality that you receive. This required the disciples or the apostles, disciples and apostles are synonymous, not just to be brave, but to be vulnerable, to share their inner most intimate stories that they had with this fellow called Christ. Their most heartfelt experiences or your testimony, to offer the hand of friendship to those who may just scoff or reject it or kick it to the curb. That's a hard thing to do, to go out into the world, that kind of world, and to share the love of God that you've experienced. That's what makes the relationship with Christ so special. It's personal. Not only were they able to weather the rejection, which they did, thank God, or we wouldn't be sitting in the church 2,000 some odd years later asking to do the same thing, to be disciples, to be apostles. But what they had to do was prepare themselves to deal with their feelings of failure. Nobody likes to fail at anything. But it happened. Failure brings sometimes a better outcome to things that we think that, oh, none of us are failures. None of us. We have a different approach sometimes to get what we need to do, but none of us are failures because of the gospel. And not everyone's going to listen. Not everyone's going to invite you into their house and to sit and share. Not everybody's going to be kind. More importantly, not everybody's friendly. Not everybody's friendly. Some downright hostile to people of the way, the love. And Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But not everybody's going to receive. Some's going to be hostile. But here's where the brushing the dust off becomes vitally important. In our culture today, we have a little phrase, just let it roll off your back. You know, like the duck. You see a duck, they get into the water just rolls off their back. And that's what we need to do sometimes as people. It's just, whatever, let it roll off your back. It doesn't matter what you run into that feels bad or distasteful, don't take it personally. When you're sharing the gospel, don't let it get your goat. Just let it roll off your back. But if you plant the seed, the seed will stay there. And you don't have to worry about watering it or make it grow. God will provide all of that in the person's life. But the most important thing is to plant that seed of love and grace the things that God has given us personally that we can share with others. So don't take it personally. It's the key phrase. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody and they don't want to hear it, don't take it personally. Whenever something bothers us to a point that it throws us off of balance or activates our defenses, it means that we're allowed that word or deed to affect us emotionally and personally. We got to take it to heart, but we don't have to feel the rejection. So think about things for a moment. If somebody insults you, how do you remain vulnerable? Do you refrain from putting up your defenses like fighting a lobster? You ever fought a lobster? You ever wonder why they put rubber bands around those claws? Because if you reach in there to get that old guy, he's going to fight you. Just let things roll off your back. It's easy. I know it's easy to let something roll off your back. If you don't care about the issue, or you don't care about people insulting you. In fact, if you don't care about anyone or anything, everything will just roll off your back. I think that's the point of determinant. But, I always like the buts, if you care about something or someone, that issue or a person naturally becomes personal to each and every one of us. And what happens in the relationship with them becomes personally to us. But here's the dilemma. How can you stay vulnerable as a disciple and care about the mission of the gospel and then care about people too? And yet let their rejection just roll off of your back. So you can brush the dust off of your feet. The secret, I think, is your heart and your ability and your loyalty. You see, if we're operating on our own devices, if our well-being and self-esteem depends upon what others think of us, we always worry about that. I wonder what they think about us. We like the people watch, and I said to Judy after we had dinner the other night, and we were people watching, and I'm thinking, and we talked about, oh, this one over here, and I said, I wonder if they people watch us. Did you ever think about that? It would be weird, because we were some weird people, Judy and I. Think about everything. If they were to reject us, or even feel devastated, we would feel like maybe we failed. But now, our primary relationship, our primary attention and self-esteem lies only with Jesus. Or better put, God. Jesus and God are the same. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's where our esteem lies. No matter who we meet, we will have the strength to be the kind facing rejection and being calm in the face of a dispute. You know, we can agree to disagree with people and without being disagreeable because God made vanilla and chocolate ice cream. You know why? Because not everybody likes the same thing. Not everybody looks at the same thing the same. But we work through it. And more importantly, we just share the relationship that is God given to us. So our stability will not depend on others people's assessment of us. Our stability will depend only on God's assessment of us. That's the only one that we got to please. And he don't really care how we do it. He doesn't force himself upon us. Well, you got to love me. I'm God. No, he wants you to love him because you want to love him. Look at this beautiful world that he's created. All the blessings and the things that we have in this life. It just didn't happen one day. It's got to be put together by a creator that knew what he was doing. Making us in his image. You know he's got to have a wonderful sense of humor. Look around. We're all made in God's image, all different, all shapes, sizes, different colors. Here's what the disciples, you and I, modern day disciples or apostles, might be going through, just like they did, into the wild blue yonder as innocent lambs. But these are powerful, they're strong, they're secured lambs, blessed by the Lamb himself and powered by the grace of the Holy Spirit. The apostles' feelings, their self-esteem, their success and mission of peace comes not from success or failure in the field, but from their relationship with the one true God of all people. So when God fills your heart with the peace that passes all understanding and kind of tops it off like a banana split when you get the cherry up on top, when God fills your heart with love, peace, and security, you can go out into the world with strength. You don't need all the security plans. You don't need the security of a roadmap. You don't need the security of success. You don't need the security of perfect harmony each and every day. You don't even need the security of knowing that your efforts have proven worthy. I just always fascinated by a seed that maybe I planted in somebody's life that I didn't even think about. And some years later, somebody would call me and say, "Hey, guess what? Somebody that you knew went to church and they accepted Christ in their life." I didn't do it. All I did was plant a seed. You simply need to know that you are a blessed child of God. And you are embarking on God's mission to love people. That's all you got to do. And guess what? The rest of it, Jesus takes care of. So as we think about, and we didn't do prayers, concerns, and joys, and but we all have those prayers and joys and concerns in our hearts. And God knows. We don't have to verbalize them. He already knows. So as we prepare today for Holy Communion, let those thoughts, those joys, those prayers come alive not only in your life. Because I challenge you, if you would open your heart and allow God to remove all the defenses that keep you at length from other people, pray for the courage to go out into the world, be free, and to feed love and serve others. Even if they reject you and mock you, that's okay. I planted the seed. I'm like Johnny Appleseed, and I just went around and planted seeds, and I don't have to worry about anything else. I did my responsibility of sharing love, God's love, with somebody. And then you can just dust the dirt off of your feet, because their fate is no longer in your hands, it's in God's hands. For the future is yours, and the kingdom of God is at hand.